Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
You can see by the little message we have what we're going to talk about this morning, but here's what I like to ask you. Just in your mind, who is the most stubborn person you know? It's funny because everybody's either going like this or like this. So you don't have to go too far. Let me ask you this question. Who is the most stubborn person in the Bible?
Pharaoh.
Jonah. In my mind, this is my vote, okay? We're talking about what we can learn from other people so that we can learn the lesson easily. Jonah, to me, is one of the most stubborn people in the Bible. I mean, you look at his history and you look at the stories, it's just pretty incredible. How he is a prophet of God, okay? So he's there. And God says, okay, Jonah, it's time for you to deliver, and here's the message. And Jonah goes, I don't like it. And I don't want it, and I'm not going to do it. And you know, when you're telling God no, you're pretty stubborn. So what Jonah does is literally, God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah gets on a boat and goes in the complete opposite direction. Okay? Just opposite. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 is they're in this boat and a storm comes up. And everybody thinks they're going to die. And so the crew starts talking. And they ask, what's causing this? And Jonah steps up and says, it's me. This is happening because of me. Okay? So he knows. So they said, well, what do we do? Now, here's the logical answer. Well, if you'll just turn the boat around, I'll go do what God wants me to do. But no. Throw me overboard. You see, stubbornness makes you make some really dumb decisions, right? And so throw me overboard. And how did he come up with that one? I can think of a lot of other options that would keep him dry at least and appease God and say, don't know, all I can do is repent, God, I'm sorry, I'll go do what you want me to do, and I'll go as soon as I can. I'll immediately obey. And God would have stopped, right? But instead, throw me overboard. In other words, I would rather die than do what God wants me to do. Now, before we get too hard with him, there are some of you in some relationships that you've been asked to do something, and you would say, I would rather die than do that. And you're still holding out, aren't you? Yeah, never mind. So, that's chapter 2. Chapter 3 is Jonah finds himself inside of this great fish. It's literally chapter 3 is a prayer of how Jonah says, here I am in the depths. Here I am overwhelmed with all that's going on. And he repents. Says, God, I'm sorry. I'll do this. And so he becomes then fish vomit. Think about this. This could not be pretty. Yeah. Now, he's thrown up on the shore right where Nineveh is. He comes out of there after being in the belly of a fish in its digestive system for 3 days. With seaweed, he had to stink. He had to look horrible. And he begins walking around the city, and we're told that it took him 3 days. And his message was, repent. God says, you do this or else I'm destroying you. Chapter 4. the king of Nineveh hears this and they repent. And Jonah gets ticked. Because God doesn't destroy them because they repented. And then you listen to the conversation, one of the lines with Jonah is this: God, my version, okay? God, you're making me look bad. I told them they were going to die. Now hold up your end of the deal and kill them. Pretty much what he said. God, I'm just mad. See, I knew, God, that if I came and did this, that you're merciful, God, and you had let him go, and I'm ticked off about it. And so Jonah goes outside the city and throws a little pity party and feels sorry for himself. And this little vine grows up with a big leaf that gives him some shade in the midst of the day. And the Bible says Jonah was happy for the vine. You know, life's pretty bad when you're happy for a vine. You know, that's what it takes. You're not in a great place. But then it says there was a worm or a bug that came and ate the vine, and Jonah gets ticked again. And so God and Jonah have this conversation, and God says, look, you're upset, aren't you, Jonah? He goes, you bet I am. I said you'd kill them, you should kill them. It's not right that they're repenting. You should let them go. And then I had this leaf, and now I don't have it anymore. And God, just nothing's going right in my life for me. God, basically, and this is how the book ends, God says to Jonah, you've got more pity for a vine than you do for people. And you're more upset that the vine is gone than you are the people. And if you love the vine, I love people more.
Yeah.
And you never see in Jonah being happy about doing what God wanted him to do. He never said, it's a joy. He never got on board. He did what God wanted him to do, simply to get out of the fish.
Did it out of spite.
And then when God did something, Jonah gets upset about it. Can you say stubbornness? Yeah, I don't like these people. I don't want these people. I don't want this to happen. So I think there's some lessons you and I could learn about being stubborn that might help us. Unfortunately, I realize that as I'm talking about stubbornness, that I'm talking to stubborn people who don't want to hear it. Well, my mind's made up. I don't care what you have to say. So, you know, I'm in this quandary of how do you talk to stubborn people? Yeah. But why are people stubborn? They want their own way.
Only thinking of themselves.
Selfish.
Don't want to look bad.
Don't want to look bad. Image. What else?
They believe they're right.
Pride.
Can't see the whole scope.
Don't see the big picture.
Immature.
They're human.
They're human. How about fear? Jonah was afraid. If I do that, what happens if?
Maybe they're married.
Yeah, maybe they're married. So fear would be a realistic, never mind. How about meanness?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm stubborn just because I'm mean.
Yep.
Hateful.
Here's the big deal. I'm going to give you the bottom line. All those things are right. That's reasons for it. But here's the bottom line of this. I want my way, and I don't want to change. Okay? I don't want to change. So I'll stay locked into what I want and what I believe. Good? I want my way in life. I want God to do what I want him to do. Jonah's issue was, I don't want God to forgive. I don't want these people to go off scot-free. God, I don't want to have to change how I think about it. Okay? Now it gets real quiet all of a sudden, doesn't it? Now I've really lost the stubborn people, haven't I? Everything in Christianity, in growth, is about change. If you're not changing, you're not growing. Okay? Dr. Dobbins says, to change is to grow. So that you and I have to understand that if I want to grow in my walk with God, I have to change. Right? Now, stubborn people have a hard time with this. Because, after all, why should you have to change if you're right? Just a thought. So that we come to this place where we recognize that, you know what, at the core of my stubbornness with God, and all of us are at times stubborn with God, aren't we? We don't like what he's doing. We don't like where he's leading us. We don't like what he's saying. We just don't like the way things are turning out. And we don't blame it on God. We blame it on, it's those Christians, it's the church, it's this. But the real issue is, we just want us to be set in who we are, and we don't want things to shift. Mike, remember that quiet moment you wanted? Here it is. So, how do I deal with that? Yes?
What's the difference between comfortable and being stubborn?
Well, I think here's the deal. And I can use comfortable or content. Okay? Could we kind of interchange those words? Because I think they both fit. As I grow, I should be content in what and comfortable in what God is doing with me. In other words, I'm okay. If I can only be content with things staying the way they are, then my contentment is fragile. Because when things shift and don't get like I want them to be, I'll no longer be content with life or comfortable with life. But when God is growing me and helping me make changes, I can do that being content with where I am and what I have. As I have more. That answer? So, what we're going to talk about this morning is how do I deal with stubbornness in the other person's life? No. You know better than that, don't you? How do I deal with stubbornness in my life? How do I deal with that? How do I respond to that? Because let's be honest, all of us have a stubborn streak. All of us do. There's nobody here who doesn't have it. So if God wants to change me, and he does, right? Then how do I deal with the changes that God is making in my life when I don't want to? Everybody's been there, correct? You and I have always had times when we know God is wanting us to stop this or do that, and we offer an excuse of why we should continue on. Correct?
Yes.
Look, let me subtitle. Instead of how do I do a sermon with my life, let's subtitle it and keep it. How can I be used by God? That was the real issue here, wasn't it, with Jonah? God wanted to use him, right? And Jonah fought God the whole way. You and I do the same thing. Yes, sir.
With that question in mind, how can I be used by God? Can God use my stubbornness to be...
We're always looking for how can I hold on to this a little bit longer. So I know what you're saying. What we see here in this picture is that God accomplished his purpose in spite of Jonah. And God didn't let him and his little temper tantrum hinder what God wanted to do. Now sometimes God will use you in spite of your stubbornness. Sometimes God will use others because of your stubbornness. that you're unwilling to do it, you'll find somebody else. I remember I had I was sitting at a table with, I don't know how many of you know, Reinhard Bonnke. And we were sitting at a table and we were talking about things, and he was talking about how God had called him. And he said when God called him into the ministry of what he's doing now, he said, I said to God, I don't think I can do this. And God said, well, I didn't ask you if you could do it. Will you? And then Bonnke said, well, you know what? There's more people more available, than more talented, more gifted than I am. And God says, I've asked others. They've said no. Will you say yes? That's a huge issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? So that you look at this and understand that stubbornness, God can, will do it in spite of us. Sometimes he'll stay with us and get us to do it no matter what. Other times, he'll go on to somebody else.
Moses and Samson in the same league?
Moses was reluctant. I think what we see in Moses is not so much stubbornness, we see insecurity. Moses dealt with, I can't talk. You look at his excuses. They all have to deal with him not feeling like he was qualified. So with him, it's more of a insecurity thing. Samson, more of a lust issue. It was just simply lust in his life that took him down the wrong road. Me, did God tell you or did God call you? And I'd say, yeah. And he'd say, God never calls you to fail.
That's right.
He never calls you to fail. So he's not looking for talent. He's looking for somebody who's willing. God gives talent to those he calls. He doesn't look for talent. He looks for a heart. He looks for availability. And then he gives all the things that are needed.
I always remember a message on what would you attempt for God if you did not fear failure?
Yeah.
And I think the fear of failure, which I think goes back to pride, because that would be
right.
But if God calls us, not
a responsibility. That's right. And what might look like a failure to others is a success to God. So we have to understand that.
Right.
Okay, I've got a little list. I've put some things together and how we're going to deal. First one, we've kind of hit on it here and there, is you've got to deal with your pride. And every person, every Christian always struggles with pride. Pride is the underlying sin of sin. I want my way. I want like I want it. I think I know best. You know, we live in a culture that is very opinionated. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes.
Everybody has an opinion about something. But you know what? As a Christian, if I'm going to serve God, I have to put my opinions aside. It doesn't matter what I think about the economy. It doesn't matter what I think about the government. It doesn't matter what I think about what's going on in the political arena. It doesn't matter what I think's going on in the schools. It doesn't matter any of that. What matters is, what does God want me to do? And so I have to not be real opinionated about things, because God's in control. I'm not. Now, everybody's got an opinion about stuff. But you know what? Your opinions will hurt you, because it shows a part of stubbornness at times, doesn't it? I really believe this. I mean, you're willing to die for that? You're willing to ruin relationships because of that? So I have to deal with my pride. My ego has to die, because that's at the root of stubbornness. Secondly, I have to work on not being so rigid. Now, in other words, don't get set in your ways. Well, I've always done it like this. Well, you know what? You've missed out a lot. And you know what? I think every parent learns this. When you have kids, initially, parents are very kind of rigid, aren't they? But as you have more, by the time I had five, who cares? Let her do that. Oh, it's okay. Let it go. Where is it? You got that one? Oh, no, my baby! After a while, it's a big deal. Come on. They'll live through it. That's the word. You just have the hospital on speed dial. That's all. And you just let it go. And you see, sometimes what we have, here's the phrase. We've never done it like that before. See, the Holy Spirit says, I will do in you a new thing. And one of the things that hurts us as Christians is God is always wanting to do something new in our lives. And if you're a stubborn person, you don't get the new. It's just the same old thing. And thus your Christianity, your walk with God in church becomes boring, doesn't it? The life is sucked out of it. Why? Because all you're doing is repetition. You're living off the past. And so you have to come to that place where, let me put it this way, a happy life is a life of constant adjustment. Now, I am trying to learn from other people. Okay? As I have watched, here's what I know. As I get older, life will demand I make more adjustments. As I watch folks grow older, the ones who are still happy are the ones who have adjusted. The ones who are struggling are the ones who are set in their ways. You know, there comes a point where you just have to keep making adjustments. You're never done making adjustments in life. You see, it's one of the big problems with parenting. You don't parent a 5-year-old like you do a 10-year-old. You don't parent a 10-year-old like you do a 13-year-old. You don't parent a 13-year-old like you do a 16-year-old. You don't parent a kid in high school like a kid in college. You don't parent a kid in college like you do a kid that's married. As a parent, you constantly have to keep changing, don't you? Right. Then you get grandkids. Yeah. Then you can do whatever you want. You look at the job situation, and when you're younger and it seems like you're struggling all the time trying to find something, and maybe you get something, maybe you get the job, maybe it goes away, it's a constant series of adjustments, isn't it? Now, if we become resentful of those readjustments, we struggle. And if we get set in our ways, if I demand this and I should have this and this is my right, you're not going to be a happy person. And God's going to have a hard time using you. Because you're going to be wanting, I want this back. I want to be like this. I want to have this. I've had it all my life. I should still have it. Here's the other thing. And Scrooge is going to bring it out. I try to bring it out every year. Because Scrooge utters a huge line in the midst of that play. He says, besides, I'm too old to change. That's one of the biggest lies there is.
Amen.
God always wants to use you, no matter how old you are. Now, here's the problem. It probably won't be like it was 10, 20 years ago. He will do something new. Right? But if you're stubborn, good luck with that one, right? so that you and I have to come to that place where we can't be so rigid in who we are, what we are, that life is a constant series of changes, of adjustments. And if I refuse to make them, life gets pretty miserable. You know, didn't expect that, didn't see that coming. And so you have to now deal with something you never expected, never ever faced before in your life. Well, if you make the adjustments with that, life goes on and it's pretty good. But if you say you grow resentful and bitter because of it, life gets really hard, doesn't it? Now, I'll guarantee you one thing in this room today, everybody, you will face something in your life you never thought you'd have to deal with. Guaranteed. It will happen. Thirdly, don't be afraid. See, Jonah's fear, he was afraid of what would happen if he obeyed God. Now, let me just tell you something. If you obey God, that means you don't get your way. Jonah didn't get his way, did he? But God got his. Now, whose way is it more important to have? You took too long to answer that one. Okay? In other words, I have to understand that if God asks me to do something, I might not like what he's doing. I could talk about a lot of things. I could talk about music here. I won't, but I could. Don't be afraid. You might not like what God's doing, but God isn't about pleasing you. He wants to use you. And let him do what he wants to do in the manner he wants to do it. Again, if you're setting your ways, that's hard, isn't it? Next, relationships or people matter. Jonah had no sympathy for the people of Nineveh. How do we know that? Well, simple. He wanted them dead. I don't think that's very sympathetic. So Jonah didn't care. He was sorry for the plant, but he wished the people were dead. You see, we care about the wrong things too many times. Yep. And we have to understand the most important thing with God is relationships. The things that live forever are relationships. The things that matter when you die are the relationships you leave behind. So you and I have to understand that if I am a stubborn person, I make relationships difficult. Stubborn people are hard to live with. Well, I'm not stubborn. I'm just living by conviction. Yeah, right. Yes. Right. Right. Be confident. Well, I think here's where we have to make the transfer. Because if you've been raised, or your parents say, don't be wishy-washy, stick to your guns, do this, I have to transfer that into my relationship with God. I am not going to back off of this. I'm going to be the person God wants me to be. So whatever he asks me to do, I will do it. And we put our stubbornness in the wrong place. And we make it about issues and things and prideful things rather than about God and what he wants me to do. And so I have to understand that people matter. Next, God will ask you to do more than you think you can. He always will. Jonah didn't like those people. And I sometimes wonder, and this is just me, I wonder if God's up in heaven going, well, I really care for the people of Nineveh, and if I send a word to them, I think maybe they'll repent, and I think that king's heart's ready to be repented. Who can I send? Jonah. I just wonder if maybe this will be good. Let's watch this and play out. I think sometimes that's the way it works. That God says, look, I want you to do this. And you're going, what? Me? Them? That Moses was that way. You want me to do what? And you see, if you're setting your ways, When God starts asking you to do something that's outside, quote unquote, the box, you're going to struggle.
Amen.
And so if you're going to be used by God, you're going to have to let God do things that you don't think you can do. Because he will ask you to do things that are beyond your ability. Why is that? Very simple. So that he gets the credit and not you. So that you have to lean on him through it all. So that you don't trust yourself. And that's what has to happen. And so he's constantly doing that. Next, learn to obey without understanding. Okay? Learn to obey without understanding. Jonah couldn't figure out why in the world would God do this. God, I knew you were like, why? And there are a lot of times that God will ask you to do something that you won't understand. There's a lot of time you'll have to do things with people that don't make any sense to you. And so you and I have to learn to act by this great word called faith. And faith means I don't understand. But I'll do it anyway. There's a lot of things about God you and I will never understand. There's a lot of things he doesn't want us to understand. Because he wants us to trust him. And I don't need to trust him if I've got all the answers, do I?
Right.
Stubborn people think they've got all the answers. And that makes it hard for God to use them because it's hard to tell somebody what to do when they think they know it all. Or when they're locked into their position. And so you and I have to be willing to obey without understanding.
Pastor, another thing about stubbornness, if that becomes your mantra and you stick with it, it can turn you into a very bitter person.
Yeah. The world's constantly changing. If you stay the same, you get passed by. Well, this is the way we used to do it in the old days. The old days aren't here anymore, babe. They're gone. You can live back there all you want, but they don't exist anymore. Well, it's the good old days. Well, first of all, they weren't that good. And second of all, you enjoyed it and liked it, and that's fine, and that's wonderful. But today's a new day. And you and I are called to constantly understand today's the day. Lastly, always leave the results to God. There will be times that you will not like what God is doing. Let me just remind you of this, because Jonah had to deal with this. God is more merciful than you are.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
God is more merciful than you and I are.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. He says to Jonah, you're upset because I had mercy on these people? Jonah, God, I knew you were merciful. And the problem is what? God is more forgiving than you are. God's ways are not ours. And Jonah wrestled with God because of his stubbornness. And God still used him. But let it be a lesson to us.
Yes.
Stubbornness isn't pretty and creates a lot of problems in our life, doesn't it? Father, we pray that you'll help us to learn from the examples of others. And help us not to allow this to become a part of our lives, I pray. In thy name, amen.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.